Well, the Journal of Science has published its list of the breakthroughs of the year. So we're going to discuss those big scientific achievements of 2015. We're talking to our regular science reporter, Chris Smith from The Naked Scientists. Very good morning to you.
Morning, Hamish.
Tell me, the number one breakthrough for this year.
Well, science have been doing this almost for 20 years. This is their 19th year, and for the first time, in fact, this year, they have chosen a topic or a breakthrough which has actually been a runner-up in two previous years. And so it's tried very hard, this breakthrough, and it's now made it to the top slot. And this is something called CRISPR, which is actually a gene editing technique. And it sort of blazed onto the scene from a yogurt pot, would you believe it or not, about 15 years ago or so. Scientists discovered that there was a way in which bacteria which were used to make yogurt were able to resist or fight off virus infections. And they seemed to be able to remember viruses that they'd seen before. And this put two researchers onto the trail of how these bacteria were doing this. It turned out that they were storing genetic snippets of the DNA from the viruses that were trying to infect them in their own DNA, and then using those to recognize the DNA of incoming viruses in the future. And when they spotted one, they deployed this CRISPR system to chop up the DNA of the incoming virus and neutralize it. And then scientists realized, wow, what would happen if we translated this to other types of cells? Would it still work? Hey presto, if you put the genetic machinery for this CRISPR system into any cell, it works. And it's very simple. What you do is you just give a short piece of genetic material which matches up with the bit of DNA you want to address the system to in your genome. It recognizes the right place and it cuts the DNA for you and it edits your DNA.
And has something happened this year that sort of pushed it to the top of the list? You said it's been the runner-up twice before.
Well, it's growing exponentially. If you look at the numbers of papers that are being published using this technique, we've seen an explosion of papers that are deploying CRISPR to test various things out.
I see.
But there have been a lot of seminal papers this year as well. There was a very, very big paper a few months ago by a guy called George Church at Harvard. And he's famously said, look, anyone can use this. In fact, you know, if you want to do gene editing in a high school, this is really cheap and simple. People are saying this is the Model T Ford of DNA technology because it's dependable, it's cheap, reliable, and really elegant by its simplicity.
Yeah.
But one of the things that he did was to take samples of pig tissue, which we want to use pigs for organ transplants into humans, for example. One of the big risks is that there are lots of viruses hiding in the DNA of the pig, which could jump into a human if you were to do these so-called xenotransplants. What he was able to successfully do as a demonstration, a proof of principle, was to use this CRISPR system to go into these pig cells and excise all 62 of these particular viruses lurking in the genome, rendering that particular set of cells virus-free. So it's very important.
What's the potential for something like this? What could you do with it?
Well, so far, as George Church has demonstrated, we might be able to turn one type of organs, which are currently not suitable for human transplantation, into very useful clinical tools. The other thing that people are doing is using this system to do what's called a gene drive. You can program genes to become dominant and take over so that if you, for instance, have a mosquito, you can put this system into a mosquito so that you then end up with the genes driving their own penetration through the population. So you end up with a population of mosquitoes, for instance, that can't catch malaria and therefore they can't transmit malaria. This has now been demonstrated in the last couple of months that you can make mosquitoes that will happily transmit this trait on in their DNA to progeny mosquitoes, and they can't get infected with malaria, and this could be a way of breaking the back of malaria. More controversially, scientists in China have also this year used this technique on human embryos. Now, they say these were non-viable human embryos, so that mitigates some of the ethical considerations, but they're demonstrating that you can successfully manipulate very early stage human beings in the embryo state so that, for instance, if you knew you had a family history of, say, cystic fibrosis, we know where that gene is in the genome, you could use this technique to go in, rectify the problem in the embryo, fixing discreetly and exclusively just the cystic fibrosis gene, and then you'd have a healthy baby.
Wow. Wow. Impressive. A mission to Pluto was among the nominations.
Well, actually, science did have this in their top five. It's one of their runners-up because the breakthroughs of the year are chosen, John Travis, who's the managing editor, tells me, by a big panel of managing editors and editors of Science magazine and the Science family of journals. But they also run a sort of a people's choice, and they ask for the public to vote as well. The public preferred Pluto over CRISPR, actually. I think they were just taken by the fact
that
the
New Horizons probe... We're just too fascinated by space.
Yes, indeed. They were very taken with the fact that this was a spacecraft that Alan Stern from NASA launched in 2006. I interviewed him just as he put it out, actually, and it became one of the fastest spacecrafts in our solar system. And after that journey of nearly a decade, it will be a decade in January, it got to Pluto and sent back those staggering pictures. They did inform us a lot about what's in the outer part of the solar system, but I would argue that CRISPR's probably got more importance here on Earth than the New Horizons data does, elegant as it was.
Given how much we've talked about Ebola this year and the impact of the vaccine, I would have expected that to be recognised in this list. Did it rank?
Slightly predictable that we would expect the Ebola vaccine to be on there. And yes, Merck's vaccine, which was developed with NewLink Pharmaceuticals in Canada, what they did was to take the vesicular stomatitis virus, which doesn't normally infect humans. They took the coat of Ebola, put it into this non-human virus, and then used this non-human virus to carry the Ebola sequence into people so that you could prime the immune system to recognize what Ebola would look like were you to become infected with it and make immunity. That seems to have worked very effectively, and it's highly likely that this vaccine is going to be used in future to prevent other outbreaks. So it's kind of good that that's there. What I find slightly uneasy about the whole Ebola story is that the technology that's really decades old, we've been teaching students on our course at Cambridge about this technology for tens of years, that it's only now that we've really deployed this against Ebola, because it only just recently went up the political agenda. People have been dying of Ebola for 40, 50 years. Vaccine technology is hundreds of years old. This isn't really a new breakthrough. What it was a political breakthrough, saying, actually, if you ignore these neglected tropical diseases, you do so at your cost.
Chris Smith, we'll leave it there. Have a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Hamish. Bye-bye, and happy Christmas to you too.
Thank you, Chris Smith. You can hear Chris on The Naked Scientist tonight at 10 p.m. right here on RN.